The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Aid agencies, including the Red Cross and United Nations, have joined the exodus.
Heroin eyes, I can see you behind my disguise. The gun strapped in boots that don't fit right. The kids left to fight the war again. What kind of amends? I buried my mom, I buried my dad, I buried a friend. Hard to believe in a new when your heart is hard as a man. Peace talks, but the peace talks is Stalin again.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 13th of January, 2026, and you are on the clock with Air on the Side of Caution Green. Welcome back, welcome back. It was a wonderful holiday weekend for most of us.
And now we get to experience life as it should be with the four-day work week.
There you go. What a plug. What a plug for labor rights in the country.
I'm
good morning,
for
Crystal.
The people.
There
yes,
you go.
Yes.
There you go. Today, I reminded myself that I'm air on the side of caution, Green. Y'all thought, see, I know y'all thought you knew why they called me a sissy. Y'all didn't know. Anyway, in the era of this case, we're going to err on the side of caution. You may get mad at me for that. I understand that. I want you to know I understand that. And I appreciate that. That there are moments when you get mad at me. You say, Aaron, you didn't go far enough. You should have let them go farther. Right? But at the end of the day, the person who holds the mic holds the weight, holds the liability, holds the blame. And so for me, understanding that I'm just one player in this entire play, one soul in this entire planet, my job is to err on the side of caution for the sake of the whole. But more importantly, to ensure, at the very least, that we are not doing or saying anything that prejudices justice. Justice that belongs to somebody else, you know. Justice that belongs to somebody else. So, yeah, some of y'all are mad at me because I didn't let the leader of the COI speak. I didn't let him give a speech. I didn't let him say whatever he wanted to say. But one thing you'll notice, that's par for the course for me. I have a structured show, and I want to have structured conversations.
Aaron, that was like the last 5 minutes of the show. He wasn't going to be able to get much in. You can't call at the end of the show.
It only takes two words. It only takes two words for a libel case. It only takes two words for a defamation case. Mm-hmm. On this show, we err on the side of caution. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to be the best. We're not trying to be the first, the most sensational. We're trying to have the most sound, sensible, coherent, and cogent conversations. The audience to know, I appreciate that you may be mad at me because of how I hold the boundary. But I want you to know that I see it and I assess it. And I don't make decisions lightly. But I want to encourage you to keep calling in. If you're mad, keep expressing what you're mad about. But the only thing I ask is that you attempt to order your words, that you attempt to measure your speech, that you think about what you're going to say before you say it, and you weigh the impact of your words, not just on your target, on the person or the people who you hope to hear your words, but you consider the impact on the entire audience, because that is what I have to do on a daily basis. Good morning, Crystal. How are you doing?
Good morning. Note the golden rule, you know? I just wanted to plug that. I think that's a central theme here.
Which one? Golden rule number one or golden rule number two?
Golden rule, do unto others, right?
Because you know what the other golden rule is, right?
What is the other golden rule?
He who has the gold makes the rule.
So, not that one.
That's the second one.
That's a new age one, eh?
I mean, not so new age at all. However, okay. It is the second and not the first.
I mean, the golden rule is kind of like, let's live by this. It's more like you choose. That other one is less.
So the golden rule is about empathy, yes. Right? It's about empathy.
It's requesting empathy. The other golden rule is more of
perpetuating imperialistic systems, systems of power, right?
It's less subjective.
You makes the gold.
It's less subjective. You know, like it's not like that. It's the way of life, right?
Well, that's what the people were trying to convince us, that it is the way of life. I'm not quite sure that that is how it works. However,
I mean, I don't think it's a good thing, but I think, you know, it tends to happen that way, you know, the second.
Mm. We lie to ourselves a lot.
Yeah.
We pretend. We prop up illusions that make us feel better about where we are. We like to pretend that
to find peace and understanding.
To find internal comfort. Because it don't make any sense.
To justify, yeah.
A gentleman said to me one day, Green, I appreciate you. I see you, what you're saying to the public, what it is you're trying to do. He said, but look at the world. He said, look at the world. Everybody leaning, laughing the world. And you telling me I must tell my son to stand up straight? The whole world leaning left. And you telling me I must tell my son to stand up straight, right? There is a sort of a comfort, a sense that becomes comfortable when you are going along with the program, right? You know, so I appreciate that, but he who has the gold makes the rule is an old rule. It's an imperialist rule. Mm-hmm. It perpetuates a culture that has taken over the world, right? And it sits butts up against the other golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's what most people...
It describes a system, and do unto others is kind of like a suggestion.
A different type, it's a different type of system, right? Mm. Do unto others, the golden rule from the Bible is a spiritual system. Right, it's a spiritual system. It's telling you, the command is, here is a system that you should live in to fulfill God's agenda, right? Mm. The other one, you also gold makes the rules, is... A different type of system.
It is.
It's a different type of system. For young people today, the world that they are navigating is basically left that left and that right, right? And in every moment, young people have to negotiate through those two principles. Am I supposed to do as right unto others as I want to be done unto myself, or am I supposed to hustle, commit myself to he who holds the gold, makes the rules. My job is to hold as much gold as possible. And that's what our young people, I think.
One is subjecting yourself to something, and the other is kind of trying to seek that control yourself, right?
I'm not sure, not so much, but the do unto others, the empathy lesson is a lesson for life, right? Do unto others, create systems, treat people the way you expect to be treated. Mm-hmm. He who holds the gold makes the rules have nothing about how to treat people. If you own the gold, if you got the money, you could do what you want.
Yeah.
Now, he who holds the gold makes the rules has become a system in this country. We got more dollars than cents.
You see it every day, right?
Money makes the decision. We try to solve problems with money. We end up putting in temporary patches, right? Regardless of how it impacts other people. But anyway, I want to transition into some stories. I mean, there are lots of stories. The Daily Dose of Positive today is from the Tribune, January 9th, local fraternity to launch expungement and reintegration program, right? The Delta Epsilon Sigma chapter of the Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, Inc. will launch an expungement and reintegration program on the Saturday? called Clean Slate 100. The program aims to assist eligible individuals in clearing records while connecting them to employment pathways, skills training, and long-term support. It's a wonderful story. The January the 9th, that's Friday's Tribune, Guardian, grab a copy of it. Dream Chaser Representative Nathaniel McKinney said many of the men they work with want to do better but are held back by a criminal record. This program intends to create a space where men and young women and women who also have expungement issues can make a new start, a fresh start, clean slate. Let's go to the text quickly. Morning, Erin. Election will take place in the month of May because VAT will be dropped in April. VAT would be dropped from food. Ain't that a measly joke? But some people will fall for that. VAT was never on food. The PLP put that there. Now they want to take it off. Folks, wake up. I will bet you if they win, food tax will go back up again. Erin, please educate people. We're going to get to the Prime Minister's address. Crystal, did you watch the Prime Minister's address?
I watched it.
All right, we're going to get to that in a second. He who has the gold typically doesn't have any rules, any respect for rules. Yeah, that's it. Because the person who holds the gold makes the rule. See, in this culture right now, in the professional culture, gold doesn't just mean he who has the authority makes the rules, as opposed to he who has the authority is obligated to uphold the rules that exist. No, we've changed that.
That really goes well with one of these stories we have today.
Here's it. Erin, exactly what is this murky global lead company extracting from Mayaguana? Are they cutting down hills? Are they removing sand? You got all the way there, Texter. We didn't even get all the way there. So let's start. Hannah Hasty Tynes, people. We're going to have our meeting at the end of the month. Spread the word. Location will be announced shortly. Stories for today. PM's address. Social media and the camera. Traffic fatalities. Election talk. We're running through all of these today. Let's start with the PM's address. Last night, the Prime Minister had an address. I don't know what to call it. It wasn't a New Year's address. It wasn't a New Year's address because he didn't address the state of the nation coming from 2025 to 2026. It wasn't a state of the nation address because he didn't address the state of the nation. The only thing I think he addressed was the state of the economy, and if that's the case, he did it. See, because for what an address that happens at the beginning of the year, in the first 2 weeks of the year, we expect it to be a New Year's address. I'm not sure if that's what it was, right? It was a good political exercise. It was a really good, smooth political exercise, but it was devoid of substance. For instance, a quotation, a statistic that was quoted, 11,000 people enrolled in upskilled Bahamas. But here's the problem. 2 weeks ago, I read an article in the positive Daily Dose of Positive section with the Prime Minister saying we reached our upper limit of 8,000 participants, and we are seeking to add 5,000 participants to the program. Tell me how you added 5,000 participants in the space of 2.5 weeks. And when was the announcement made that applications had reopened and that you could accept another 5,000 people? Like, when did that happen? Or is this just a matter of you throwing out talking points? Because it was like the teleprompter y'all got, since we got to have some positive, a daily dose of positive, the teleprompter y'all got was excellent. It put the words right into Prime Minister Davis's mouth. And I like that. I just need better words. There was a complete lack of substance. For instance, did you address the 4 traffic fatalities at the start of the new year? No? Okay. Did you announce the election date? No? Okay. Did you announce when the governing party would finalize the ratification of all of its candidates? No? Okay. Did you address the Mayaguana project development? Did you address that? No. Did you address the increasing tensions in the Caribbean basin and the Western Hemisphere with our cousin to the north threatening to annex everybody and anything within his gaze? Did you do that? No. Did you address the murders for the new year? or for the last year, or the number of traffic fatalities that we experienced last year that's still at crisis level? Did you address any of that? No. So exactly, I can tell you what it was. It was a clear snapshot that long gone are the days of governing a country, that the Davis administration in particular has been focused solely and sorely on managing an economy, as if Bahamian citizens are nothing but numbers. Anyway, let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Trust and hope that you had a good weekend.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me, Ms. Green.
Mm-hmm.
That speech last night from the Prime Minister,
mm-hmm.
It was like a sermon from a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Take out of it what's for you and leave the rest. He just take what's your point. Then the man preaches. The man doesn't preach to everybody in the church, you know.
I feel
that is
you.
Why he spread it so you could get what is your own.
Man, listen.
My own and that yesterday.
Okay, yeah. What did you get from it? That's good. What did you get from it?
The rock.
Yeah.
Cutting the rock. That was for me.
I got you.
Now the people who have the triplex
and the multiplexes.
Yeah, they had something in that for them.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
The only thing I was listening for, now he said zero what includes the medication.
No, I think it's just, the way that he said it, if you follow it, only the things that had been previously marked down to 5% VAT mm-hmm. will now incur 0% VAT.
But another thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is a part of your thing,
mm-hmm.
but you know they have the NHI drug plan thing.
Yeah.
If I have an NHI card and I go to a particular pharmacy,
mm-hmm.
I need two set of medications. They always have one of them. They always have one.
Yeah.
But the other one is always out of stock.
I got you. Okay.
But they can sell me it.
Uh-huh.
Now, the other one I could get free.
Okay.
But the other one that...
The free supply is out of stock. You'd have to purchase it to get it. I got you.
Yeah, but if they have it, if I'm on there...
It's free. Yeah.
That, why would I have to purchase it if they have it there?
Well, no, if they... Okay, so they are able to purchase a certain amount for the NHI program that would may have a... They may have tax reduction on it, right?
Yeah.
And then once that amount is finished... NHI no longer has a supply, and the doctor would have to rely on their private practice supply, which they have to sell to you.
Mm-hmm. But I'm talking a pharmacy. I'm not talking at a doctor's.
No. And same thing for a pharmacy, right? There is a certain allotment they get. Say they get 100,000 units for NHI that they can give away for free. But once that the 100,000 units have been scored, they no longer can give it away for free. They now have to rely on a stash, a lot that they paid for, and they have to recoup the cost for.
Oh, okay, because what I'm saying, this is now being over a year.
Yeah.
They haven't had this in.
I got you. Now, see, that's a problem, right? And we're talking about critical, because NHI is for critical medications, right?
This is critical because it's for diabetes.
Oh, yeah. So I feel you. See, that I was not impressed by the number quoted. Something like 44,000 people accessing medications through the drug prescription program. I don't think that's a high enough number to brag about. But I also agree with you that there are the tech. See, what I missed is the technical details. For instance, we got 44,000 people enrolled now. By the year so-and-so, we will have the capacity to enroll 100,000. Like,
but
you say...
It's good to enroll 100,000, you know.
But you got to have the medication.
If you don't have the medication yet for them, then, I mean...
Now, here's my next thing. Why we don't have the medication? And those are the things that I expected to hear, not all the way down into the nitty-gritty, but some more details.
But I think insulin is very, very important.
Critical, essential service. Yeah. No need to joke about it, sir. We at that point now.
And I wouldn't say I depend on that to live, but it keeps me going.
And there are others who actually do depend on it to live. just like
the. I go to the place where we usually frequent.
Yeah.
I always hear a lot of older people complaining about it.
I got you. And renal care, diabetic care, eye care, all of these things are critical issues, and we need to have conversations about the allocation of national resources,
but
right?
Green, you're a smart lady. You call three different cares.
Yeah.
And I'm suffering from two of them.
There you go. And because they interlink, man. They interlink.
Yes, it does.
Thank you very much for your call today.
Good,
it's important to focus. And you see what I like? Here's a person who could tell you, look, yeah, he's a PLP, you know, critical interrogation into the prime minister, even more critical than me. Right? Even more critical than me. He brought up the positives, and then he brought up some of the negatives. I appreciate the, think of it as a, because the prime minister has to be able to speak to everybody. And you need to convince me why I need to compromise with, right? Like, hey, convince me why I need to compromise with renal care and diabetic care, because these people need this right now.
So this is what I was going to get to. Can we do the word for the day? Can the word for the day be empathy?
Yeah, empathy.
Empathy. I think that fits in with a lot of what we're
talking about today. Mm-hmm. All right, so when will the Prime Minister address the state of affairs in the Caribbean basin and what appears to be Trump's attempt to annex or take political control of the, and economic control, certainly, it looks like political control of the entire Western Hemisphere. I expect my Prime Minister to address a subject as important as that at a national address. Let us transition to, I got a text here, exactly what is this murky global lead company extracting? But listen, before we get there, because I know everybody's talking about that, social media, and this weekend on the internet, I saw a lot of things, a lot of disturbing things. I saw a video of immigration officers in the home of a family. Now, let me say, this was not the most disturbing of all the videos that I saw. Once the immigration officers assessed the identification documents of the people in the house, they quickly made their leave. Like the young people say, no slapping up, no long talk. They quickly made their leave. Now, we understand that the police, Roy Bahamas Police Force, and the Department of Immigration, immigration officers have different powers. And immigration officers' powers extend slightly beyond the police powers in terms of warrants and access to homes and private spaces, right? The second video I saw purported from Freeport, the gentleman inside a home or a structure filming is shouting into the camera and to people outside the structure. The person purports that a group of individuals is attempting to enter their home illegally. The language used suggests that the people may have identified themselves as police officers or may have said things for the person inside to assume that they were pretending to be police officers or were police officers, right? The person indicated that they didn't seem to be able to identify the location that they were trying to enter. Mm-hmm. That video was slightly disturbing to me. Of course, we can talk about the police officer filmed by Motor, allegedly trying to solicit a bribe. Saw the video this weekend. That is not the most disturbing video I saw this weekend, Crystal. The most disturbing video I saw this weekend. Let's start here. Trigger warning. Trigger warning for people who have experienced sexual assault. This may be traumatic. I saw a small clip. It is a very short clip. The clip itself had been edited. There were two parts. The first part, somebody inside a bar is filming patrons inside the same bar. A woman is slouched on a bar stool with her back against the wall, slouched. A man is performing a sexual act on her in the bar. My first thought was, that's not how people who enjoy this act look. That's not how their faces look. Why is someone filming and not doing anything? Okay, it's this person conscious, these two people that have lost control of themselves, lost reasoning of their surroundings, everything. The video jumps, it's been edited, and in the next second, You see the man propping the woman up as if he's trying to stand her up off the bar stool. She appears to be unable to stand on her own. She appears to be unable to walk on her own. This is a disturbing video. It's even more disturbing. I spent the weekend reading a story that I'm familiar with about a woman from France who discovered that her husband had been raping her for over 10 years. How? Drugging her, rendering her unconscious at nighttime, propping her up in positions and in clothing, filming himself raping her, and then invited strangers and people in the community to partake in said activity. So see, right now I am a bit sensitive about these things. This is a disturbing video. I appreciate you meant evidence for a case, but you also have to stop the thing. I hope that the people in that bar prevented that man from leaving with that woman. I hope the police in that bar called the police. I could be honest with you, I was going to go to the Royal Bahamas Police Force website to see if there was a report on it, but I could not enrage myself any further if I got there and discovered that there was no report on the matter. Remember, the first traffic fatality of the year, in the article, the family indicated, the reporters indicated that they had to go to the police for information about an accident that had not been reported. That video in that bar is the most disturbing thing I've seen this weekend. Even more disturbing than the scenes from the traffic fatality on Saturday. Monday, early hours of Monday morning? The 11th? The police officer, Harbor Bay. That is a disturbing scene for me. Turning on the video and seeing that officer with red eyes, obviously tears in his eyes, overwhelmed with grief, right? Over 20 years ago, a friend and I were driving. She's dropping me home. We were on the Eastern Road, approaching Harbor Bay. A car drove past the wind displacement, pushed us to the verge at Harbor Bay, right in front of the entrance, right there, over 20 years ago. That car proceeded on around the curve there. Mm-hmm. Another car, second car, followed him and did not make it around the curve. That vehicle hit the wall. I want to say in this moment, condolences to the family of those brothers involved in that accident that night. Because we relive in something that you lived more than me. We watched that car hit that wall and the wall not let go of the car. It's unfortunate the man, 20 years ago, he also succumbed to his injuries that night. So for me, just watching the police officer go through the process of having to tell you all that one of his brothers succumbed, lost his life in this accident. I lived that. I've watched that happen. I'm a traffic advocate because I have seen with my own eyes and I've felt with my own hands sitting in the road in front of Nez, victim of a hit and run in my lap while drivers and police officers attempted to ignore the scene. Yeah? The Prime Minister didn't address any of that in his national address. Aaron, the Prime Minister's speech was full of hot air. That's 4.5 years late. We are still living paycheck to paycheck while a small percent living high off of our taxpayer dollars. We want livable salaries and not a flowery speech. I was not impressed by his address at all. Here's another text. Hey, Aaron, did you buy 4438 in the number house yesterday? I don't even know where the number house is, I could be honest. Corinne Mitchell did a thing on me. So you saw the video, heard the entire conversation between the police and the tourists, and you're still talking about allegedly KMFL. Listen, I wrote my notes last night before I had viewed the entire video. In the era of the Brittany Harris case, we're going to err on the side of caution. When the boy is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law, mm-hmm. What I could say in my car, what I could say in my backyard, what I could say on the corner with my neighbors is not the same thing I could say on the airwaves. right? We're going to err on the side of caution with Erin Green. All right, so let's get to the video. You know what the irony of that is? That's the same roadblock that be slowing down traffic so much that it perverts the effective and efficient movement of goods, people, and services. And what do they do in their job of the Ministry of Energy and Transport? They're checking for licenses. They're checking for your license for your car and your inspection and your insurance. You know what they're not doing? They're not checking for seat belts. They're not checking for people on their phone, people not using turn signals. They only use those things if they remember as an opportunity to search further, to interrogate further. See, my thing is, maybe if they were doing their job, they wouldn't get caught not doing their job. You'll have them there doing the wrong thing anyway. They're supposed to be on the road observing drivers and moderating behavior through issuing warnings, tickets, and citations for breaches of the Traffic Act. But you got them there looking at people's car license and inspected. See, if you stop them for not adhering to the stop sign properly, then that's your opportunity to check and see if they have their license and insurance. See how it works? It's so easy. It's so easy. You have been a victim of what appears to be an attempt to solicit funds from me. They solicited something. And it's a good thing they didn't show up to court. Because they was going to get everything I had for them via the magistrate. See, four traffic fatalities for the year. A partially blind man killed on the pedestrian crossing because he knows how to cross the road. Two young men unfortunately killed in Eleuthera near Palmetto Point. Condolences to the families of the deceased and all involved in the accident. And then we come to the young man, 18-year-old Grand Bahamian resident. Crashed Monday, the 12th of January, 2026, in the area of 8 Mile Rock, shortly before 9 a.m., police were alerted to a traffic collision at the junction of Queens Highway and Stubbs Avenue. Officers responded to the scene. We say condolences to the family. Rest in peace, young man. Rest in peace. See, here's the next thing. I was in Cable Beach this weekend. You know, your Ministry of Works, you know the lights ain't not on, the street lights not on in Cable Beach? You know they're not on in JFK? You know they're not on in parts of the Eastern Road? Did you all, Ministry of Works, you divested BPL, you divested BTC, you divested water and sewage. What you doing with your time now? It's not paving roads and striping them. Not in New Providence, at least.
I've started to see the paving roads and the striping.
You started to see it happening?
I started to see it, you know. I'm not trying to be... It is... Obviously, you can't forget the fact that it's an election year,
yeah.
Right? A lot of times these things start to happen during this time, but it's something I could appreciate.
What area?
Monastery Park, south, going down, with Seabreeze, that
you
area.
You mean the Joe Farrington Road
yeah,
project?
That whole vicinity there. And then I started seeing, where did they start paving the road? I was like, oh my gosh, I was so excited because they saw the white markers to divide the, I was like, what, a median, what? Like,
look how they have us conditioned.
That is, I'm so,
we happy, you know, for stripes in the road.
A lot of the things that you said earlier, oh my gosh, it's really heavy, Erin. Mm. It's so heavy, but people, I've witnessed this, cause, you know, frequently being in the eastern area, Eastern Road, and they don't stop. And then also...
Hold on, what do you mean they don't stop?
Around the curves. It's like, oh, I see a curve, let me smash gas. No, don't do that. Like, literally... Go slow, bend. I watched these people got
speed up on go slow, bend.
Get in an accident with this other car, and I'm just like, why? It's called go slow, bend. Right. Like,
producer, let's prep the caller. Caller, coming to you right now.
Maybe more street signs would help, though.
All right.
I don't know.
Listen, I got a text about that video. Good morning, caller.
Yeah. Good morning, Erin. Good morning to your guest, Crystal.
How you doing?
You know, Erin, I believe that any savings is good savings. in respect to the bot reduction or omission or whatever it is. But the thing about it, Aaron, you know, the question is, how long is this going to be into effect for?
Is it just a temporary measure? I got you.
Right. That would be a pertinent question to ask. I don't think it was a question and answer period last night in that address. So that would be good for the media, you and media, to find out. And I don't know why they think, you know, the thing about it is it may not even be for election purposes, you know. But the thought, yes, may be genuine. But when you do things like this, as opposed to doing it from the minute you get in, you start doing some things, you know, it causes some serious concerns for persons, voters. They believe that this is only for election so to speak, you know, and they could do a better job at that. Then another thing, Aaron, I really feel bad for that officer, you know, honestly. I mean, we call for these things, but then when they happen, right, you call for accountability and all of the other stuff and stamping out corruption. But when these things happen, as a human, when the human nature set in, it causes you to feel terrible for that officer. The circumstances, other than what I would have seen in the video. But I hope that even if he is found wanting, Aaron, I hope that they find some, you know. I mean, these are the things, you know, it's all about consequences, I guess, you know. And I always try to tell people, even my employees, you know, when you're making a decision, if you have kids, make sure include them as a part of your decision-making process.
Yeah.
I believe 9 out of 10 times you'll make a better decision.
How will it impact my children?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he have kids or what have you, but a guy that's screwed, I don't know. You know, he just
mashes his life right up.
He just screwed himself right up. And I hope that even if they try for him to a family, I don't know, something, I don't know if there's any rehabilitation in place. But,
no, can't try. Okay, see, here's my dilemma.
Yeah.
You can't transfer them to the family island. There's less eyes and oversight on the family island if they're an officer engaged in bad practices. They may just further entrench those bad practices. But right. I absolutely appreciate what you're saying, right? Is there a redemption arc possible for this officer and officers like this, right? Because there has to be a redemption arc. We can't just throw people to the sharks and say, to hell with you. We have to reintegrate people back into the good thinking society. You're right? The good people. We got to reintegrate them back into the good people space, and throwing them away is not the way to do it. But you know what it needs? What needs to happen? The force needs to respond to him. In a public and non-violent and non-aggressive way.
A public scolding and maybe get him to do something. I don't know what the deal is, but you know, I personally, Aaron, I don't know the gentleman.
I don't
know the gentleman from a Kiana thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know him. I don't know anyone who's associated with him either. You know, all I do know is that when I look at that video and it going viral, you know, I don't wish it on my worst enemy.
There you go.
I hope that something is done, whereas he would get the help that he needs.
See, listen, even though it is an officer, right? And even though it's somebody with a little GoPro or something on their camera, it also kind of feels invasive, right? Like you can practice empathy and understand how it feels invasive, right? We're not endorsing anything that they did. But there has to be a redemption arc. He may have to be suspended from the force, but and I got another caller. Thank you very much for your contribution. Let's prep the next caller.
I think that may speak to a little bit of a culture thing down in that area, because
there's a culture in the force.
While I do think that there should be a degree of empathy, right? Also, I can understand through a similar situation and I did not get justice.
Listen, twice.
You know what I mean? Because if I had something recording, I would have been fine. I would have not had that terrible experience.
I got you. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron. How are you doing this morning?
Good, thank you. How you do?
I think this is a very touching subject nationally, and I don't think it's getting enough national attention that it ought to.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is because as we talk about the word empathy, as someone who has been a community advocate, as someone who's been a community advocate, I've long advocated for us to have some resolve of how we, the public, are treated by officers in our day-to-day commute.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be a traffic incident, but no one knows the amount of incidents and injustice that we, the public, suffer at the hands of our police officers.
Stick a pin for 3 seconds. I will never forget the video opposite Pompey Square, the police officers manhandling that boy, throwing him on the ground, foot on his upper torso or his face. I ain't gonna ever forget. Go on.
Okay, but you won't forget that, Aaron, but there are many of us across this country that have scars in our hearts
about
how we've been treated and the level of injustice that we've experienced at the hands of our police.
Mm-hmm,
but all we ever get is, shut up and listen. Mm-hmm. You know, I, the police, I'm the authority here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they are the law and not the enforcers of the law.
Right.
And so for me this morning, there is no empathy towards... you know, the fact that the video is viral, that the tenants that uphold the police force, whether they be, I forget what the words are that are just words now.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the work that goes into ensuring that we repair those tenants so that there could be good relationship between the community and our police officers? Because walking around after a shooting or an incident in the neighborhood to show a sense of force is not restoring the tenants inwardly, the bonds that help to create relationships between community and police.
Man, listen, I got two more callers. You making an excellent point. The only thing I would say is I think that we could practice empathy and still arrive at your point.
I understand, and I agree. I'm dealing
with a situation where I had a bus driver assault me with the police on the phone, and because again, police officers are willing to take bribes, nothing happens, and young people witness this every day in this country.
Yes,
this is one of the critical problems we have with violence and crime in our country.
All right, I got you.
When those of us turn to the law, forget it.
I'm a person who was stalked for over 3 years, and ain't nobody could tell me yet who was stalking me. And the last thing the police said to me is, but Telco determined the threat was not sufficient to warrant further investigation.
Exactly.
I want you to know, caller, I appreciate your point. What do we do next, right? I can tell you what you do. You form an NGO that focuses, right, on documenting, recording, and seeking resolve. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you doing?
Yeah, great show. Aaron, a couple of points, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember now, the guy, when he saw the money, remember he told the guy, I saw the money.
He saw money in your bag, yeah.
Right. I think that's one for them, right? I work with the officer downtown.
Mm-hmm.
I drive back here, right? The gentleman is a good officer. I mean, as far as what I saw, right?
Mm-hmm.
He comes downtown, he's cordial, he says good morning to everybody, passes, doesn't arrest taxi drivers. This is my opinion. I mean, what I'm saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
He made a mistake, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now watch this now. I think he's a constable.
Mm-hmm.
If he was a sergeant or inspector,
mm-hmm.
I think you could bring the hammer down more harshly on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
And maybe I don't know if it's his first time, but they can try to find that out. But if not, if it's his first time, I think they should give him a second chance to try to rehabilitate. I mean, he can't be rehabilitated if it's his first time.
Point taken. I want to say. I would say thank you very much. And here's why. Let's go to the next caller. Here's why I'm taking that point, because it became apparent to me quickly. Mm-hmm. These young officers, they've been trained to do this.
I suspect
there's a problem in the there's a cultural issue.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron, and good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
I can bet you $1,000 that if Mr. Munro was to respond to this, you know what he say? They come from among us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that is just that. It's a cultural thing.
And the training in the force is not sufficient to eradicate that culture from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be addressed. It's a systemic issue that needs to be weeded out.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The few who are, it's giving the force a bad name.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has to be addressed. But his response is, oh, they came from among us. So what is that saying? That all of us are like this?
Yeah, throw them back to us. If they came from among us, throw that fish back.
Yeah.
Throw that fish back and get a better fish. That's all. But thank you, caller. And let's prep the second caller. Yeah, go on, Crystal.
When I said that, I suspect this may be a culture. I'm talking about specifically the tourism department downtown, the police, because there have been myself as well as friends and other people who use.
I spent three. Listen,
you know, when we used to be gallivanting in the area, like there was several incidents that I know of that people have posted online.
Listen,
with the same type of scenarios.
I got you.
I still agree with you. There's a degree of empathy for the, but there's still,
it has to be dealt with.
Yeah, it still highlights
Crystal, I got you.
That's there.
Crystal, I got you. I spent 3 years. I spent 3 years going to court with a police officer who did not show up.
They closed the door on me. I went inside, and they turned me away and said, oh, you don't have no evidence.
Listen, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hi, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
Yeah, on Christmas Eve many years ago, Paul Thompson Jr. in his khaki uniform was directing traffic on Bay Street and Frederick Avenue, and Frederick Street. And, you know, I stand right on the sidewalk and put down my pocket and put $200 in my, you know what I mean, my wallet, and walk it, then shake his hand, you know what I mean, and handed it to him. That's my old college mate, you know what I mean, from St. Augustine. I'm college in Raleigh, North Carolina. Did I bribe him?
I mean, okay, I don't know if you bribed him, but it may be inappropriate for an officer to receive a cash gift from a friend or an associate while A, on duty, but more importantly, B, in uniform.
Yeah,
I'm here.
Aaron, time, right?
I gone
to pick up my girlfriend from the airport one night. At the airport, my cousin Perry Williams, who's on the force from San Salvador, saw me. You know, he was out there when she walked out, and he said, "Hey, mom, what you saying?" I threw up the luggage in the trunk of the Explorer I was driving, and Stanley told them, saw that. You know, when he said, "Hey, mom, what you saying?" I stuck my arm in his walk, and I gave him $200 right there, jumped in the jeep and left. They followed me from the airport, pulled me over, two cars, them, I think, when I reached way in the back there by where was it yet, right? And tried me up, turn. And, you know, I was like, hey, what else should give him? I said, what do you mean I give him? I gave him $200 to give them for. I said, that's my cousin. You know what I mean?
Right. So
Let me tell you what happened.
Quick.
That night, you know, the Air Jamaica flight was coming in. She's just coming from a flight from out of Texas, traveling all day. And Air Jamaica flight came in that same night. They asked me, when I saw him again in John's Baptist Church, right?
Yeah.
He said, what happened? I said, what you saying? I tell him about it in church. He said, yeah, they pulled me over. They asked me what that is I gave him. I said, give him some money. I said, what you say to them? He said, I admit it. I said, man, his cousin, so what happened? You know what I mean? So they pull him over, they go on back, harass him and everything. So did I bribe him?
Listen, Uncle, first of all, you may not have been bribing him, but consider the circumstances, especially with a flight coming in from Jamaica. Right. So let me say it for the audience. I got you. Thank you very much for sharing those two
stories. One more I got to say before I go, real quick.
Yeah, right? 20 seconds.
On the 19th of December, yeah, before last, there was a charter flight that went to Crooked Island. I just met the pitch down.
Listen, I'm going to hit this button. Uncle, I'm going to hit that button. Listen, I just hit the button. My finger tell me, I thank you for calling, Uncle. We can get to that in a second. Good morning, caller. You got 30 seconds. Uncle was entertaining me. You still there, caller? I sorry, we lost you. Uncle, your stories about Crooked Island, charter flights, some of them we ain't going to listen to for the first time on the radio. But here's what happens. Did you do anything illegal? Not on the surface, not that anybody could determine on the surface. However, given the circumstances and the location that it occurred in, it's not unreasonable for someone whose job it is to be suspicious to suspect that something untoward may be going on. You may not have done anything illegal, but what you did was inappropriate, because no officer should ever be seen receiving money from private citizens or anybody while on duty, right? It raises suspicion. It causes people to speculate in a space where no speculation should occur. Police officers should always behave in a way where others cannot speculate. There is no speculating to be done, because the police officer follows the line. How we have fallen from the standard. That's how far, Uncle, I'm not importing any wrongdoing into your story. That story was also probably 20, 30, 40 years ago, a different time and circumstance entirely. But it's not unreasonable for suspicion
from,
to...
From, you say, Air Jamaica.
There you go. There you go. Listen, to the texters, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Here's a text. I'm 2,000% sure there are ethics rules that prevent police from accepting gifts, cash, or otherwise. There
and
you go.
He says family members. Everybody is everybody. Cousin.
You get to them at Christmas dinner. Yeah. Body cameras needed, Aaron. Yes, yes. Listen, what happened on that film requires proper interrogation, investigation, so that we do not prejudice or pervert justice.
Especially for officers downtown.
Let us talk about it in a way that does not make it likely that the thing will be thrown out. Mm-hmm. We all saw what we saw. In order for the result that we expect, let us do what we're supposed to do, mm-hmm. which is to measure and moderate our speech. What we didn't get to today, Rick Fox saying he running in St. James. What a time. What a time. The Moores Island conveyances. What you mean a 93-year-old man finally got the conveyance for his land that his people had for over 100 years? What y'all mean? I just saying. I did run out of time. I did run out of time, Crystal. We got so much more to talk about. Producer, thank you very much for your patience. Callers, thank you for your patience. You've been on the clock with Air on the side of Caution Green. Join us tomorrow. We can see what we could say on the airwaves tomorrow, too. Have a great day. But more importantly, stay tuned, because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Neary is up next.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when you're asked to care for the world, you'd start with your community. Until you're accessible anywhere, you make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.